Genesis chapter 4, we have a great verse in the Bible, very amazing verse in the Bible. The Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. I have gotten a man from the Lord." If you know anything about Cain and Abel in the Bible, this man, this baby, this little child that Eve thought was the Messiah, turned out to be the first murderer. But when he was born, she said, "I've gotten a man from the Lord." Now, I think that she was probably referring to Genesis 3:15, in which the Lord had told, made clear that the seed of the woman was going to bruise the head of the serpent. And perhaps Eve thought that this child that she bore now was going to be the Messiah. And of course we know that he became the furthest thing from the Messiah. And He certainly was not only a murderer, but he was a hater of God and a rebel against God and a hater of the people of God. And he lived a life of rebellion apart from God. And very sad. But perhaps we could title this message this morning, Are You Going to Reach Your Potential? Reaching Your Potential. Now, here's Cain, here's Eve looking at this little baby. Oh, precious little baby. You know, and she's just, you know, oogling over this beautiful little baby. Probably pretty smart, too. I wonder what his IQ was. Somehow I think his IQ is probably about 160, 170. Maybe more. Think of the potential. I think of Psalm 127. Psalm 127. In verse 3, where it says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." You know, when you see that little baby, you see tremendous potential. Tremendous potential, what they could be. You know, I guess that's one of the realities of life. Boy, that baby. Tremendous potential. Muscle power. Brain power. Just nothing has been, you know, it's all there, everything. I remember John Getch one time was here. And at that time, our youth choir was about high school youth choir was junior, senior high, was about 35 kids. And they sang, and I'm not sure what the service was, or evangelistic meeting or whatever, and afterwards, he got up to preach, and he says, "You know, when I think of that choir, You know what I think of? I think of potential. Potential. Christian school, Christian church, Christian parents, being trained to serve God. He says, when I see these young people, I see potential. So I thought about that. I thought about a number of those individuals and where they are today. What their life is like today. But in that day, their life was a life that exuberated potential. Smile. An innocence. Background. Training. Encouragement. All the potential to do something for God. When they saw, and when Eve saw this baby, she saw potential. Hey, you know what? I think this is the Messiah. I think this is the Messiah. The one who's come to redeem mankind. All the potential. In that sense, every one of our lives, in one degree or another, represent potential. Potential. Of what could happen through our life. But within that child was a hidden, sobering reality that Eve did not yet understand. Because within that child that she thought might be the Messiah, in fact, I think she thought he was. Within that little child, that sweet, sweet, precious little baby, there laid in his soul a most dark thing, a sinful nature. He is born a sinner. And you know, Adam and Eve didn't know anything about that. They had, or I shouldn't say anything, they had very little idea. They had no experience with a baby in itself, but they certainly didn't have any experience with a sinful nature. Now I think about it. I think about countries that don't believe the Bible. Don't have the Bible. Or don't think Bible. Steve and Christine are in Africa. And they have little children. Pretty rambunctious little children. And they all have different personalities. But you know, in church, they sit and they sit still. And the African people can't believe it. They can't believe it. That those little kids could sit still. Because their kids, you know, they're running around, can't keep quiet, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know why? There's a lot of reasons why. But you see, in Africa, they have the Bible, but they don't believe the Bible. They're Christians, but they don't believe the Bible. They don't understand the Bible. Like a lot of Americans. They don't realize that that child has a sinful nature. I don't understand the sin nature. You know, a lot of moms and dads, and I think even young people are going to be moms and dads in this church, they don't understand the sin nature. I've heard some comments by some of our young people about children. They don't understand the sin nature. You know, little babies can show their sin nature and they can control moms and dads. And a lot of moms and dads are controlled by little babies because little moms don't know about the sin nature. And you know, I think of watching children from people from China. Ever watch children of people from China? They're running all over the place. I mean, they're running all over the place. And mom or dad says, "Now, don't do that." And they just keep doing whatever they're going to do, you know. They have no clue about how to raise children. You know, one of the basic reasons, they have not been taught that a child has a sinful nature. Now, before we get too much further, let me ask you a question. Do you believe, do you understand that your child has a sinful nature? They have a sinful nature. They're going to manipulate you. They're going to lie to you. They're going to do bad things behind your back. And nobody will have to teach them how to do it. It'll just come natural. And if you let them have bad friends, it'll be three times as bad. Because now their friends will encourage them. But you know, Eve didn't know that this son that she bore, she thought was the Messiah. She had no clue that this boy had a sin nature. Sobering reality. And besides that, there was an enemy lurking in the bushes. And you know who that enemy was? The Bible tells us in Genesis 3:15. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." There's an enemy. You know who the enemy is? Satan. Satan is the enemy. So, a sobering reality. There is, this boy is a sinner. This boy has a sinful nature. This boy is going to be sought to be manipulated by Satan. Who? And so the Bible tells us that we have a serious challenge. We have a serious challenge. If we go back to Psalm 127, what's the serious challenge? We have this great potential. It says, "Lo, children, heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." You know, you think of this little baby. Boy, mankind made in the image of God. Marvelous. What a miracle. Mankind made in the image of God. Unbelievable miracle of humanness, of humankind, of children. Made in the image of God, mankind. It's a marvel. But they have a sinful nature. That means right within them is a love for evil. Right within them is an instinct for evil. Right within them is a selfishness, a rebellion. born with it. I remember Mr. Gilmore gives his testimony. His mom didn't understand children. She'd say, "Now, son, you're a good boy." I remember Mr. Gilmore saying, "I wish he wouldn't have said that because it was a lie. I knew it was a lie." But she kept saying, "You're a good boy. You're a good boy." He wasn't a good boy. He was a sinner. But there's a serious challenge. What does the Bible say? Proverbs 22 and verse 6. "Train up a child in the way he should go, in the way, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Psalm 127, verse 4, it says, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." Children need to be aimed. These children with sinful natures. And guess what? These children who have a sinful nature God has a plan. Very challenging plan. Proverbs 22 verse 15 it says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him." Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction. It tells us that parents have a duty to that sin nature. And the duty is to break the will of that sin nature. That sin nature has to be broken, or it will express itself and unleash itself in varying degrees of wickedness, just like Cain. And so, our Bible says, train up a child. That means their character has to be developed by the parents. That means the foolishness in their heart has to be disciplined out. It means Ephesians 6:4, "Fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." It means fathers have to take on the responsibility to train their children in not only discipline and character and breaking the will and an obedience, but has to train them in the Word of God. "And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." A child left to himself bringeth his mother shame, the Bible says. There's a serious challenge. I don't think Eve knew anything about this. She had no experience. She was born perfect. I mean, she was made at that moment perfect. Had no experience from her upbringing. She was born an adult. Never had kids before. Didn't understand biblical theology. No example to follow. Do you think? I don't think so. Do you think when she saw that little baby, she said, "Oh boy, this is a sinner. This boy's a sinner. I have to break his will. This boy's a sinner. He's going to try to manipulate me. This boy's a sinner. He's going to be, if I let him alone, let him to himself, he's going to be a rebel." Do you think she thought that? I don't think she thought that at all. You might say, I kind of think she was he was a mama's boy. That's what I think. He got away with everything and anything. But I could be wrong, but that's what I think. But I think it's probably pretty close to truth. You know, there's a serious challenge. Serious challenge. You know, do parents have any clue today of what they're working with? Do they have any clue of what they're working with today? Do they have any clue of what's going to happen to this precious child if they're left to themselves? If they don't have parents who dedicate themselves to be God's instruments of breaking that will, bringing them to obedience, giving them the example of love and obedience, showing them that God is real. Parents have any clue of that? I don't think that even, you know what, how could it be? 50% of all children born in America are born out of wedlock. 90% of children bear, from mothers under 25 are born out of wedlock. 90%. And they're bringing in this world this sinner. And this sinner has a great need of parents who will dedicate themselves to break that sinful will, to bring that child to obedience, to bring it to character where it loves to do right, bring it to a place where it knows the scriptures, so the Word of God can work in their hearts. And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That child needs the living Word of God from day one. Because why? They're born a sinner. They're bent the wrong way. They have to be unbent. And the parents' job is to give them the Bible from the earliest of age, to pray over them. Here's this little baby. Eve said, I've got a man from the Lord. Whoa. He's just going to automatically become the Messiah. He is a sinner. He is a sinner. A serious challenge. Serious challenge. Why? Because what is the answer? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. Here's the supernatural solution and cooperation. 1 Corinthians 15, 22, a great verse in the Bible. Puts so much together in one verse. For as in Adam, all die. In Adam, all die. But even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Oh, there it is. There's the answer. In Adam. Here's the first child born in Adam. And it's Cain. And he stayed in Adam. That's the problem. He stayed in Adam. And we can preach a whole message on that. I might even preach tonight the message called the Cain Syndrome. Very important message for young people. called the Cain syndrome. In Adam all shall die, but in Christ all shall be made alive. You know what this is talking about? Talking about a new nature. It's talking about a new birth. It's talking about a new life. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all shall be made alive. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, putting it in perspective is this. Eve, from the moment that child was born, should have been praying earnestly for its conversion, for his conversion. The moment that child was born, even while he was conceived, she should have been praying for his conversion. While that babe was in the womb, Eve should have been praying over this sinner that's going to have been born. As soon as that babe was born, Eve should have been teaching it the word of God and about the coming Messiah. And that it was a sinner and that what sin was. And not to follow her example. You know, it almost is a logical thing that the older a child gets, the more chance sin has a chance to take over its life. There is a obvious truth here. A child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. The pointing the child to the supernatural is not accidental. It's always purposeful. Now, you might be here and say, well, you know, I don't need to hear this message because I'm not a parent. Well, you know what? I think senior citizens need to realize that they have a sin nature too. And sometimes stubbornness is not an attribute. It can be willfulness. It's not an attribute. And we are born with it. We're born with it. So the message isn't just for potential parents or parents. It's for all of us if we take time to think. Parents' job is immediately to train that child. Immediately to point that child. Immediately to put the realm of the supernatural truth of Jesus Christ in that life to counteract what they're born with. Counteract it. It's real. And every opportunity that a parent has to put into that soul the right ingredients, they ought to take care of it. Now, obviously, Ephesians 6:4, it says, fathers, bring up your children and nurture and admonition of the Lord and provoke not them to wrath. There ought to be a good example. There ought to be a good example. It ought not to be, you do this, but I'm not going to do it. It ought to be a dad, hey, son, I want you to live for God, and I want you to do everything God wants you to do, but I'm not going to. I'm going to resist here, and I'm going to resist here, and I'm going to resist here. That doesn't work. That does not work. There's a training. There's a goal. Why do you want to bring them to Jesus Christ? Because the earlier a child is brought to Jesus Christ, the earlier they have a new nature. They have a new nature. I remember a couple boys. Specifically, I can remember a couple boys. Neither one of those boys are here today. But I can remember two boys that were terrors. I mean, they were terrors at church and they were terrors at home. I mean, you talk about terrors. They were terrors. And I think of one was a real terror. I mean, Mom was always pulling her hair out if she could. She'd be bald today, I guarantee you. And he would do the worst, naughtiest things at church. And today, you would never know it. You would never know it. Because he got born again. He got born again. And he got molded and shaped in the things of God. See, children need to be born again. Children need to be brought to the place where they make that choice. You know, what's a part of that choice? Well, the Bible says this. It says, the way of transgressors is hard. Do you know that verse? You need to know that verse. The way of transgressors is hard. That's in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15. And you know, one of the duties of parents is to help children realize that the way of transgressors is hard. You know, you think Cain had a great life? Cain is burning in hell right now. He's burning in hell. He thought he could murder his brother and get away with it. And then when God gave him a punishment, he was mad at God. Spent the rest of his life rebelling against God. But you know, one of the jobs of parents is to make sure that the way of transgressors is hard. And that's why God gave every child a seed of learning, called a seed of education. And every Christian parent ought to have enough common sense to realize that sin should not ever be rewarded, that the punishment of sin should always be such that the child will realize it does not pay to sin. It does not pay to sin. The supernatural. Hebrews chapter 10. The supernatural. Verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. I will put my laws into their hearts. Wow. So here's a great challenge. Children need to become in contact with the supernatural. They need the living Word of God. They need the prayers of their parents. They need to be in the influence of the Holy Spirit. They need to be protected from all the evil of the world. They ought not to have have the family ought not to invite the world in and put it in the center of the living room and watch the most wicked people of the world and be entertained by them, etc., etc. Why? Because this child's got a sinful nature. And they need to be pointed to Christ. And that child needs to have been taught to submit to Christ and obey Christ and want Christ. And so when they come to Christ, now they can cooperate with Christ. And so there's three stages of this. Training children to love Christ, to come to Christ and to love Him and to follow Him. Bringing them to a place where they are saved and they have a new nature. And thirdly, to bring them to a place where they are surrendered to the will of God. They are surrendered to the will of God and living the perfect will of God for their life. Romans chapter 12, you know the verse. Most of you probably have it memorized. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, number one, a Christian parent ought to be concerned that their child is in the will of God. They ought to be concerned. They ought to be concerned, and everything that they're doing ought to be focused that their child will perform God's will for their life. Psalm 139 tells us all our members are written in a book. God has a plan, but we got some enemies. We got an enemy right inside. That's our sin nature. That has to be whipped. That has to be conquered. Now, I think there's some adults here would have to say, I never had a Christian upbringing. And my sin nature has never been conquered. My will has never been conquered. I have never come to a place where I am glad to submit to God. And that's one of the problems of being saved at a later age. But when you get saved at a later age, you have the opportunity. You have the opportunity as an adult to have your will broken and surrender to God. Because you have a new heart, you have the Holy Spirit, you can surrender, you can get the victory through Jesus Christ. But at whatever age you are, you'll never have God's blessing if you haven't come to the place where that will is broken. And you are glad to do what is right. And that stubbornness is gone. That resistance is gone. That independent spirit is gone. That's your job to do for your children. Because God has a perfect will for everyone. And to get there, there has to be a surrender. There has to be salvation, then there has to be a surrender, and then there has to be a separation. Not be conformed to this world. And there's the transformation it talks about. But this is that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, let's put it right in context. You think it was God's will that Cain be a murderer. I don't think it was God's will that Cain be a murderer. Does it seem like Eve had any clue about the sin nature of this young man? I don't think so. And put that into combination with the devil, she didn't understand. She should have known a little bit about the devil. But she missed it. She missed it. And this little boy, this sweet little boy, grew up to be a murderer. Not only a murderer, but a rebel. A hater of God. And he filled the earth with a wicked seed. But at one time, he had great potential. At one time, his life was full of potential. And you know, every one of you young people, when I see you, I see potential. Potential of what you could be, what your life could be for God. Every mother and father, there's still potential at any time in our life if we surrender to God and let Him have our life unreservedly. There's still potential of what we can do for God. But we have an enemy. We do have an enemy within our sin nature. We have an enemy without. And that is the devil and the devil's system, the world. And we need the supernatural. We need the supernatural. We need Jesus Christ. We need a new birth. Praise the Lord for that. We need not only a new birth, but we need that Holy Spirit living within us. A new nature. Right there! Because of the victory in Jesus Christ. We need to surrender to God's will. We need to let the supernatural take over our life. So that all that God wanted to do. This is kind of a, not exactly a parallel, but I was reading the biography of R.G. Letourneau. He was a great inventor, Christian man. He was a great inventor. He invented the turnipole. He invented the bulldozer. I mean, just amazing inventions that he... And he would invent this machine overnight, almost. His brilliant mind, great mechanic. And he said this. He says, it's an amazing thing that God has given all the countries of the world all these raw materials. And they're free! I mean, look at all the raw materials we have. They're free. Oil, gold, silver, iron ore, copper. It's all free. God just put them right there in the soil. I mean, they're in the earth. They're free. And some of the richest countries in the world are the poorest. Some of the richest countries in the world are the poorest. Some of these nations in Africa, all these natural resources, and they're the poorest countries in the world. Well, you know, they got all these natural resources. They were free. They didn't have to work for them. But the countries that learn how to take these natural resources and make something out of them, manufacture, they're the countries that are prospering. And there are still countries in the world who are poor, 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 but have all the natural resources. But they won't do anything with them. They won't do anything with them. They're living off the resources, selling them to someone else, and that's what they're living off, and it's peanuts. Figure of speech. Because they won't do anything with their natural resources. And you know, that's us. I've gotten a man from the Lord. A gift from God. Free. Just think of it. Free. The brain, the body. I remember a friend of mine, He worked at a limestone plant. And he'd tell me, I carried 40 ton of limestone today. And then he'd go do it again the next day. Oh, man. What God has given us, we have to do something with it. What are we doing with the natural resources? We have to do something with it. Parents need to realize that child is precious, but there's an enemy within. And there's an enemy without. And the victory is not won by accident. And young person, you have great potential. The question is, will you reach your potential? Will you reach your potential? Life is full of all sorts of situations and temptations to take away your potential. Isn't that right? That is why you see very few Christians 70, 80 years of age that are still on fire for God. Because life is full of obstacles to take away our potential. And we need to seek the divine. And we need to be serious about the battle that we are in. We can put it down to home. As parents, do we take it that seriously? As parents, do we see our children and we say, this is what God wants them? And that's we're going to do everything we can to aim them to God's best. What about us? Are we content just to be mediocre? What about God? What about God? What does God think? What is God's plan? What does God in heaven say? I saved that person for a reason, for a plan. I have something in store for them. Can you imagine the disappointment of God? The disappointment of God? When we don't come to His plan, we just throw away that potential, let sin destroy us, and Adam all die. In Christ shall all be made alive. Really, the message this morning kind of took a different turn, but it really started off as a message about the fact that we're born with a sinful nature. We're born with a sinful nature. Eve didn't have a clue about it. Doesn't seem like it. And because of it, her firstborn, whom she thought was the Messiah, because it's never turned, that sin nature was never overcome, that sin nature, the will of it, the willfulness of it, the stubbornness of it, was not broken. He became a murderer. We have sin nature too. Sometimes we forget about it, don't we? Sometimes we excuse ourselves. You know, you feed the sin nature, it's going to be real strong. You starve the sin nature and feed the spirit, it becomes strong. We have a sin nature. Young person, you have a sin nature. You know, you put the sin nature in combination with sin, and all of a sudden you got something that's bigger so much bigger than you, you don't know what to do. Thank the Lord. In Christ, all shall be made alive. Amen? In Christ, all shall be made alive. That's the answer. Jesus Christ. That's the answer. That potential can be reached. The enemy can be defeated. And God's will can be fulfilled. Let's pray. Lord, thank you today for the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, I pray every parent here will be challenged. Lord, about this real issue, this real enemy. Lord, the fact that we are born sinners, that children are born sinners, and that we have a real duty as parents to deal with this issue, because children left to themselves will bring their mother shame. And Lord, I pray that we'll recognize that the greatest thing in life, Lord, is to point our children, ourselves, all around us, the only one that can rescue us from ourselves, our sinfulness, and give us and bring us to the place of fulfilling your plan, that's Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, use these truths, we pray in Jesus' name, with heads bowed and eyes closed.